So far, Daniel, what do you think is the best evidence out there that proves the existence of this creature?
Oh, running away, in my opinion, was the film shot by the late Roger Patterson in October of 67. And Roger's since gone, but Bob Gimlin is still living and just an incredible witness. And in the sense that he's never changed his story about what happened from his initial major interview with Jack Webster, which was like late September, early October of 1967. And, you know, it's this extraordinary thing that happened. And, you know, it's been 40 some odd years and he's still saying that this is what happened. And that's basically it.
What do you think that creature is that's on that film?
Wow, again, that would require speculation, but in terms of, you know, whether we're looking at a Bigfoot or whether we're looking at a man in a costume, and, you know, Bob Hieronymus is the most likely candidate for being the man in the costume for those people in that camp. It's just like, I've investigated not just the film, but the film site, the circumstances surrounding it, and created a massive bibliography just on the primary sources on the PG film, the Patterson-Gimlin film. And I'm absolutely convinced that what you see there on that strip of film, the 953 frames, is Bigfoot.
And tell me, what did you mean by Bob Hieronymus could be the candidate?
Bob Hieronymus, as of late 1999, he was, a Yakima newspaper writer put him out there as making the claim that he was the guy in the costume. And something like that could have been potentially very important had it emerged, say, like in 1968 or 1969, because it's Bob Hieronymus, who lives walking distance from Bob Gimlin in Yakima, had that claim came out, say, in 68 or 69, and he went to the newspaper and said, well, what you see that's unfolded in the Associated Press and the UP and on television, etc., is not Bigfoot, but that's just me in a costume, because he made the claim that Roger Patterson would pay him $1,000 U.S. currency to do that stunt. Now, in 1968, $1,000 was probably more than what people made in a month, a normal U.S. worker. And here he got gypped out of that $1,000, and it seems like he should have cried foul back then. And when you start to do digging, newspaper archive digging, etc., it's just like, it's just not there. It doesn't emerge till about 1999. And so I said, you can't be a Johnny come lately and jump on the train and say like, oh, I was the guy in the costume. And by the way, he's not the first and not the only individual who claims that he was the guy in the costume.
Which really taints the whole thing in terms of, I'm not saying taints the authenticity, but taints the people who believe that it was a fraud.
Right, absolutely. And it's just like another thing that most people don't realize is that prior to May of 2009, a fellow by the name of Bill Munz that lives here in Hollywood, that's part of the Hollywood community of special effects, started taking a better and deeper look at that movie film in terms of trying to determine how tall the subject is. And by doing that, he used something that is almost in, that would have to hold up in the court of law, because in terms of simple mathematics, say like 3 + 2 = 5, that will always be, you know, if you have 3 + ? = 5, it's always going to be 2. So Munz used the optic formula that is used widely used in photography to determine that the subject that you see in that film, that close to frame 353, that the photographer, videographer, filmographer, Roger Patterson, was approximately 100 feet from the subject matter, where they call it the look-back sequence. And at about that distance right there, using that optical formula, that subject is roughly 7'3", and there's a plus and minus variance as to, okay, it might be an inch taller, inch shorter, etc., but it's got to be locked into that height. And Bob Hieronymus does not even approximate that height. And just backing up a minute, in May of 2009 in Yakima, they had the Bigfoot Roundup in honor of Bob Gimlin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up to be part of that event. And also, when I was up there, I said, well, I've been to Yakima a couple of times, but I said, most people know my personality that I would maybe not challenge, but I said I was curious enough to find out exactly how tall Bob Hieronymus was. So I'm 5'7" tall. So I went to his home, knocked on the door, and out emerges from the side door was Bob Hieronymus, and he was at best maybe 5'10", at best. Now, this is an older individual, and say, like, maybe in 1967...
He stood up a little.
Maybe he was 6 feet tall,
yeah.
But he was not the 7'3" tall that was required to be in that epic movie.
And clearly, this creature was walking with the strength of its feet, so it wouldn't be like it was on little risers or anything like that.
No, all that business about arm extensions and about wearing slippers and having pillows in the buttocks. It's just like when you start to really look at that film on a frame-by-frame basis and the careful scrutiny that Bill Munns and Dr. Jeff Meldrum have done, it's just like you're seeing something that is very unique in the sense that it appears that everything is... What you see is what you get. You're really seeing a foot there. You're really seeing a hand there. You're really seeing a fleshy, massive buttocks from the behind and not a pillow in a costume. Because the pillow in the costume and everything else, it would be very discernible in a costume. And when you look at that piece of film, and it's just like that subject matter does not have the look and feel of a costume, because a costume, if anything, would conceal rather than reveal the muscle masses that you see moving in the movie film.
What's going on with any potential DNA work, Dan?
I guess David Pilates and I want to say the NABS, North American Bigfoot Society or whatever, is they're trying to get this DNA analyzed to be unique and different than modern man, and it's just like, stop right there. It's just like if you back up to the late Eric Bechtjord, who collected blood samples from the Lummi Indian Reservation from the mid-1970s, he was actually one of the first people to start a line of thinking along the ways of trying to have some DNA blood analyzed, and he actually was somewhat scientific about it at that time, hoping that you could do this type of study and come up with results that are unique and different than Homo sapiens. And it's just like back then he was not conclusive in any of his findings, so I suspect that any findings that they produce from 2011 even forward is again going to come back inconclusive or different than modern man, like hair samples that have been analyzed, but it's just like it's not going to resonate with the scientific community in North America.